Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, and I got Kyle with me today. Kyle number two for the second time this week.
I noticed that. I'm keeping score.
But like we said earlier this week, we are inviting back Agnes to finish up our conversation. So in our last episode, Agnes shared some of the things that she's been learning about marriages and relationships. And for this episode, we felt like she had some stuff to say about like what to do next, right? So some of the action steps or some of the ways that we can apply some of the things that she's been learning. And so we said we didn't want to make that first episode too long, so we brought her back on to have a part two. So welcome back, Agnes.
Thank you.
All right, so why don't we just kick this off right away? So what's the first thing that you wanted to share about kind of action steps and ways to help our relationships and our marriages?
Yeah, so kind of what I was sharing with you earlier, Damon, I feel like you're kind of on, you're doing the pieces of your journey that you'd had been sharing in your in the previous episode is kind of a lot of the pieces of what I would suggest to kind of improve your relationships or your marriages. So the first thing I would say is honestly increasing self-awareness. Mm-hmm. So you can't fix something if you don't even know it's there. Mm. That's the number one step. And I think there are different comfort levels because there's some people who don't want to be, they'd rather be in the dark because it's more comfortable, it's more safe. But when we are left there, then we can't improve or we can't grow or we can't move to the next step. And I'll be the first to say, I like being comfortable. I don't like moving on to the next thing, right? And so, but being self-aware is huge. So I think like for Henry and I think that part of our marriage, improving it too, is learning about our own selves, right? So what are the things that I'm doing wrong, or what are the ways that I grew up, and how are the ways that I communicate, and the same with him? Because if you're aware of that, then you can bring that out into the open and then make a change.
So what are some practical steps that you've taken to become more self-aware?
Right. So I don't want to harp on prayer ministry again, but something like that. So going to something where the Lord can kind of shed light to you in the areas of your life that you weren't able to like put out in the open before. And that's why I say, Damon, you were kind of sharing about this being on this journey that the Lord was highlighting things for you. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be prayer ministry, but even spending more times, like intimate times with the Lord, where he can speak into you and show you things. So that requires humility too, right? So, and it can come from, I mean, the Lord speaks to you in many ways, so it can come from other people too. So that's like when you receive feedback from mm-hmm. the people that you're in mm-hmm. relationship with, if they say, oh, you know, I noticed that you did this. That's part of
She's just plugging the emotionally healthy.
I prefer.
All right, I'm puzzled, right? But it's hard because you have to be able to receive that feedback, right? So that humility comes back in again. But that's so getting feedback from other people, maybe even going to counseling, getting prayer ministry, things like that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, all those seem, it seems like it's a mindset shift too, that you have to want to know more about yourself. Because I know Mimo took an an EQ class at work, and what she told me is that there's not many people are actually self-aware naturally. So there's a small percentage that actually have that. Most people have to learn how to be self-aware, and they have to learn about themselves. And so I'm like, oh, I never thought of it that way. And so it's actually something that we need to learn and teach and pursue. So it's a mindset shift of, I want to be more self-aware. I need it, instead of just, well, I'm not, so that's just not the way I am. So I'm like, oh yeah, I could see people wanting or people needing to have that desire of, I want more self-awareness, because that's going to help my relationships.
Yeah, and when you say that, and I thought of something too, is learning like your personality, learning like what, how you communicate, what your strengths are. So, you know, taking those kinds of tests also increases your self-awareness, because you can, you know, there's like something called strengths finders, right? Which can give you what are the things that you're good at. That gives you insight into how you are, and the personality tests, stuff like Myers-Briggs, things like that, kind of give you insight into how you interact with people. Or even those, I remember what, lion and otter, yeah, or beaver, right, those tests that we've taken before, that can kind of give you insight as well.
Yeah, I think that those are good, but I think sometimes we overemphasize them too, where it gets to the point where we box ourselves in and say, I'm not, that's not me, I can't do that. And it's, and then it's like the I can't, and it's like, or is it just I don't prefer, or, and allowing the Lord to use us in different ways too, because I think there might be times where an introvert, the Lord says it's time to be an extrovert right now for this situation. And but you prefer to be an introvert, but for this situation, you might need to be an extrovert, or or things like that. So I think that's just my caveat on the some of the personality tests. Don't let them box you into a specific, but just recognize them as, these are my preferences, and this is the way that I more naturally operate, but not to say like, this is the only way that I'm going to operate is just like this, right?
Yeah.
Right. And the, so I would think of it more as these are all tools for you, right? So you, you can do this and then kind of give you more insight, but then you really have to listen to the Lord to know, like, in each situation, how you should react or how he wants you to be growing and what areas you need to work on. But they are, the other thing I was thinking of is like, you know, the giftings too. Like what kind of giftings you are. Yeah. Like, are you mercy, teacher, whatever, that kind of thing too, also gives you insight.
Yep.
But just the more that you know about who you are, and then your, even your identity, right? The better you can be at communicating.
And the, kind of like in line with what Damon was saying, the more we end up knowing about ourselves, the enemy can try to take those and twist them, our strengths, and to be like, to get them off track and to get them off centered. And so, yeah, I think we want to know those things, and that is a huge plus, but we have to make sure they're staying balanced and...
Yeah, and that you're still grounded in your identity.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, Kyle's been calling me out on my adaptability a lot recently. He's been saying that it's good, but then there's times where I overemphasize that, and I need to be...
No, because you're, I mean, you're at, that is a huge strength, and it's so it could be so valuable. I mean, the things you do and the way you adapt to stuff, I'm like, holy man, like, how does he go from this to that to this? But then, yeah, I being on the outside, it's like, oh man, I can see how that can also be taken the wrong way and used the wrong way. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, because of our relationship, and I know Kyle's heart for me, when he says that to me, I'm able to receive it and say like, oh, he's looking out for me, and not like, oh, he's trying to like bash me or anything, but he's trying to say his heart for me is that I'm flourishing. And sometimes when I over adapt,
it's like, then basically, it's like you're overutilizing it.
Yeah.
It's still there and it's still good, but it's just overutilized. Yeah.
But then it could be also like taking away from other people in terms of like allowing them to carry some responsibility, or allowing them to step into things, because I'm doing too many things too. So just recognizing that aspect is like, okay, yeah, sometimes our strengths are good, but then there are, we do need to have guardrails on them too.
Yeah. That sounds like over-functioning from emotionally healthy.
It can be. Yeah. It can be. Yeah. So I think certain giftings and certain personality traits can lead to over-functioning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Easier than others.
Brett.
Oh, with Kyle, I think the recipe is a lot of love with a little bit of bash on the side.
Wow, all right. Ah, thanks, Brett. Brett has a different name for it, but we won't say that on
there. We function out of the same,
I know,
out of the same vein. So.
I know what you call yourself, so yeah. I'm like, okay, all right, I could be that role too.
What? What does he call
Speak
himself?
Speak the truth in love.
Yeah, I just, I can
well,
be.
He can be the donkey.
Yeah, I joke. I'm the jerk. Name. I'm the jerk of the friend group, because I'm willing to go there if necessary.
speak the truth, but in love.
Yeah.
But sometimes the truth feels like it.
Yeah. I mean, pointing some of those things out, I think in return too, is even if you're coming from a place of love and stuff, you're still taking a risk too.
For
in,
sure.
Dang, this person might take it the wrong way, or they might misinterpret my intention or my heart for them. And so navigating in, if you're helping someone become more self-aware, or you're aware about yourself, knowing that sometimes I rub people the wrong way, or I say things that people aren't ready to hear. It's timing. It's the vehicle you use to get that message across. It's, I mean, there's so many factors that go into it, but I was just joking with Kyle because Damon was like, I know that Kyle's not bashing me, but then I just wanted to start in there. Oh, that
you're trying to say Kyle is bashing me.
No, I'm saying it was a lot of love and truth.
You're supposed to keep that conversation personal. I shared those.
With a sprinkle of bash.
That wasn't supposed to get back to Damon. He wasn't supposed to know that part. No, and I think that shows the value of having people that can speak into you honestly. Yes. And that's the part of the self-awareness. You can do your own journey with it, but that's the fullness of having other people confirm when you're on the right track, but then also be like, hey, I think, you know, you're getting a little bit, you know, off track too.
Yeah.
I think too, when it comes to the self-awareness thing, I think that when it comes to self-awareness, we also need to be prepared to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
because I think
point.
That mm-hmm. what comes with the self-awareness is that there's going to be times where it's like, this needs to get worked out, or these things need to be ironed out or be healed or fixed or things like that. And I think a lot of times we get scared of that too. So it's easy to, when we start down that path of self-awareness, is like, oh, I need to escape this. This is too hard, right? And so I think we do need to be aware of that as well and be ready for that, because I think really that's where the Lord wants to take us, because that's where we're going to grow. But the enemy wants us to point us to other things to escape so that we don't ever end up finding that wholeness or that healing or those things too.
There's way too much truth in that. I am not receiving it.
What I think one thing too is, if you're working on your self-awareness, even to prepare yourself to hear something that you don't know or don't agree with.
Mm.
Because if you're working on your self-awareness, it probably means that you're not aware of whatever about to be revealed to you. And so if you go into it saying, oh, I want to work on my self-awareness, you're not just going to get told stuff you already know, because you're already self-aware about that.
That's true.
But there's a high chance that it's something where, oh, I didn't know that how I do that affects you that way, or I didn't know that this is how it comes across, or I didn't even know I do that, right? Because you're not aware of it. It's not even on your radar. And so it's almost having an expectation for yourself to be able to have that grace and to know that, like, oh, wow, I didn't recognize that that's the way my actions were being perceived, or I didn't know that by me doing that, it had an effect on someone. And so instead of going into it almost thinking, I already know what they're going to say, you kind of have to be prepared, even with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He might reveal something to you. You're like, I don't do like, that.
Ouch.
Yeah. Or like, oh shoot, I need to, you know, repent, or I need to ask somebody how I can work on this, because the only way to grow in self-awareness is you gain understanding of what you're not aware of. So, yeah.
And yeah. Usually those things aren't always the pleasant things either.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think like what you were saying, Damon, I was trying to make a joke of it, because it's like, oh, it hurts. Like, it's the truth. But then that's where the transformation, the growth, the depth of relationships comes from. But it's the work. You have to put it in. And it's like, oh, it'd just be easier if I just didn't even know it. You know, if I could just stay in that area. But that's not where God wants us to go. He wants us to grow, and yeah.
And I didn't want to go here yet, but
uh-oh. Hey, wait, should we do some music for that?
Well, I didn't want to go here yet, but okay, so I was first aware of this when I was in junior high, and we kind of did a no TV week. Mm. So before we did no TV week, what they said is we need to have like a control, right? So we need to have the base. So you need to tell us how much TV you're actually watching. So in eighth grade or seventh, junior high, I was like at 8.5 hours a day Oh, wow. Right. So if you think about it, like, you're at school most of the day, right? So, yeah, I was watching a lot of TV.
So you're sleeping, watching TV, or at school, like, yes, those three things?
Yes. Okay. So the digital distraction is not something that's new to me. It's been there since junior high. So the no TV week was so hard for me. But what I recognized, one of the reasons that it was so hard for me was because of the conversation that was going on in my head when I didn't have that distraction. And so I recognized that a lot of the TV watching was so that I could escape those conversations. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's something that, I mean, I think I even had this conversation with my son this morning, is just that it's very easy and the enemy wants to distract us with those things so that we aren't aware of what's going on. Because when we don't have those things, the conversations, the ways that the Lord is going to speak to us, the way that the enemy might even be trying to talk to us, those are going to be so much like louder because we're not distracted by those other things. And so I felt like that's when I became aware that I'm pretty self-reflective, is that when I'm not distracted, I can be pretty self-reflective. And so I think for us, especially in this digital world that we live in nowadays, it's so easy to be distracted that it makes it harder for us to be self-aware because we're always thinking about all these other things and we have so many different things in front of us. And so this might be something that we talk about maybe in the future, but Mimo's been talking about something about a digital fast or something like that, or season of digital fasting. And so that might be something that we talk about something in the future, but just recognizing that in this season, as we're talking about being self-aware and recognizing that that hurts our relationships when we're not, and that sometimes the digital distraction can get in the way of us growing in that area.
Yeah, and that's why the importance of the stillness, right? Mm-hmm. That's when everything's turned off, and then all you can do is just focus on silence and the Lord.
Oh, and that's what I was talking to my son about, actually, was that I understand where that's coming from because that was me when I was his age, too. Mm. So it's not, I didn't want him to feel like I was talking about these things like as his authority figure and telling him you need it, but just coming to him from, hey, I've been there. I've experienced that, and I know that digital distraction is a thing, and it's hard. It's hard to break. Mm-hmm. And so as we were talking about it, just helping him to see like, oh, Dad's been there too. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like he's not there and he's coming down on me as someone, you know, mm-hmm. like a holier than thou or whatever, any of that stuff, but coming at him as a, hey, I've been there in the same situation.
That's really good, Damon. You're a good dad. It's really good. I actually have a funny story to share about self-awareness. I had people so my family probably and Henry give me feedback that I have, when I get angry, I have this look, and it's really like mean and nasty look, and and there's a tone that goes along with it, right? You guys are like, what? You've never seen that. And so I'm like, really? I'm usually pretty, you know, agreeable, pretty happy, pretty joyful. So what are you talking about? So one time we went home to my parents' house, and I think it was my dad's birthday. And so Henry was filming, right? Because when we're bringing the cake out and we're all there, my mom was still in the kitchen. And so we were trying to get everybody out to sing happy birthday. So I was so annoyed. I was really angry at my mom because I was like, Mom, can you come out here? Everybody's waiting like for you to come out here so we can cut the cake, right? It's not about you or whatever you want to do in there. So he's filming this, and I see myself when I'm watching the video back, right? I see myself turn, and so the camera gets my face, mm-hmm. and I turn to say something to my mom about like, Mom, can you get out here? And I saw the look on my face, and I was like, oh my gosh, that scares me. I was like, is that the look? And they're like, mm-hmm. So I had to actually see it on video for me to go, oh my gosh, I don't want to have that look. That's not a nice look. So don't get me angry.
Wow.
I kind of want to see it.
can you generate it on demand? Okay, so we don't have a lot of time for you to be able to record. Are there other things that you wanted to bring out?
Yeah.
And that's a huge topic, what you started with.
Okay, so then the second thing is take care of your stuff. Mm. So there could be a stronger word there, but it's really take care of your
That's not how you said it in our prep meeting.
Okay. Well,
I'm not going to go there.
No, we're not going to go there. But
it's kind of like what we've been talking about, right? You have to be willing to put in the work.
Yes, right? yes. It's basically saying I'm going to take care of my stuff and work on my stuff.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Right.
Responsibility.
Yes, and actually being okay to do that, because a lot of people aren't ready. And then when you open that up, like, it does take work. It takes work. Mm-hmm. It takes work. And you have to keep working on it, because it's not going to be intuitive right away. So when I, you know, when I learn, like, from my family of origin, like, how we fight, right? How we interact and things like that. And then if you don't take care of those things, they're always going to be there. Mm-hmm. And they're always going to affect those relationships. Mm-hmm. And the same thing's going to happen over and over again. So you never change. And if that happens, then you never grow. You're only going to be stuck in a certain spot in your relationship, and you can't go any further.
Amen.
Are you going to say something?
I agree. No, I mean, I think you hit all the points on that. It's true.
Yeah. So whatever it takes, right? And that's why I'm really proud of you, Damon, because when you were sharing in the other episode, you were saying, like, all these things that have been revealed, and then you're working on it with the Lord, and you're going through it, and it might be hard, and you're learning how to forgive. You're learning about the things that, you know, Satan talks to you about and what he's pushing on. But all of that takes that self-awareness we're talking about, and then just, you know, taking care of it. Because once you do that and you free yourself, like, the Lord's freed you and brought that revelation about the digital stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is so
okay,
tremendous.
He hasn't freed me.
Okay. He's in the process.
But I'm aware of when I do it, and it's easier to put it down than it has. I think it's still in the process, but I'm more aware of when I'm trying to escape or things like that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
But I think that's where the rubber meets the road. I think people, they want the benefits. They want the, I see what that, how, like, let's say it's for you, Agnes. Like, people have seen you and they've seen you change. Or, like, I want that. I want that fruit of the change. But they don't know the difficulty it is. I guess there's blood, sweat, and tears, literally, probably, and going through some of the transformation we need to. And then, it's the choice. It's our will. Like, okay, do I know I want this. I know I need it. But am I going to walk it through even when it's hard? And a lot of people quit at that point, unfortunately. And it's like, I'll just stay where I'm at. I'm good enough.
Yeah, and it's really true what you said, because I actually, like, started working on myself more because of seeing Henry and his transformation. So, you know, way back when we were doing the intensive prayer ministry, right, mm-hmm. with Catherine.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to IPM.
Yes, exactly. So Henry went through, and he was, I think, one of the first groups to go through it. Mm-hmm. I saw him, like, act so much differently when he related to, like, me or the kids, and I thought, what is happening to you? So he would go off, and it's
sessions.
Intensive, yeah, right? He would, like, leave and then not come back until after midnight or whatever. There were long sessions, but I noticed that he was treating us differently. He, like, was more patient. There was just, it was different. Mm-hmm. He was different. And so I'm like, what's happening? And so he would share things, and I thought, oh my gosh, I need that. Right. Mm-hmm. If you're doing that and it's mm-hmm. transforming you this way, I need that. Mm. And that kind of started my journey too. So, but it is that willingness to go through it, and then saying, you know, I value our marriage. I value this relationship enough. Like, I want our family to be healthy. I want us to, you know, like, follow the ways of the Lord. And so even though it's tough, I'm going to commit to doing this.
I don't know, Brett, if you had something, but...
I was just going to say, we need a be about it button.
We do.
Anytime somebody talks about something that's like, yep, that truth just hit them.
No, but I
like
think,
a ding, ding, ding.
But I think that's a huge thing, that modeling. And mm-hmm. so we can model that for other people, but then who's modeling it for us? And mm-hmm. I had the same experience because I saw the people that were going through that.
Yeah.
And I was hearing their stories and I was hearing their testimonies of like, oh my gosh, I'm dealing with this and that. And I heard enough of it. I'm like, I need to do that. But I still had the choice. Okay, am I going to go do it or not? And then I'm like, Catherine, I don't want to be, like, she was like teaching them more too. I'm like, I don't want the teaching part. I just want to go through it because I want to deal with my junk mm-hmm. because I saw what other people were doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, it wasn't easy. It was some long sessions. I had to, you know, go to places I maybe didn't want to, mm-hmm. but it was like, oh, that was huge. But it was because I saw the same thing in other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that could, it could mean counseling. It could mean,
sure.
you know, whatever. Yep. Whatever you need to do to deal with your stuff. And part of the prayer ministry is dealing with like what you grew up with too yep. and the things that you believe and all of that kind of thing. Like, it's really important.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So then actually that leads to the third thing, which is, So this is speaking specifically to marriage, but I think it applies to if you are in just relationship where you want to take it. But I think specifically for marriage, because you're two different people coming together and trying to become one, it's important to understand what your values are going to be moving forward in your marriage. So, you know, this happened a lot with Henry and I because we grew up very, very differently. So I'll just give you an example. Like my growing up, my parents took care of everything. So I didn't really have to do anything. They just focused me on studying. Mm-hmm. So I would just study to do well, to get in a good school, whatever. That was the focus. So I didn't do too many chores. I didn't take care of too much stuff at home. I didn't have to learn the life skills kind of thing mm-hmm. very much. And Henry grew up the opposite, right? So his parents were divorced when he was a teenager. He had to do a lot of stuff on his own, very independent. And his mom kind of instilled in him, you need to know how to take care of things. You know, you need to do things yourself and really be kind of empowered to do stuff himself. So it came into play when we started raising our kids because I have a tendency to want to do stuff for them. And just say, oh, you know, let me take care of that. Like, I'll do the dish, I'll cook, whatever. I'll do your laundry, all this kind of stuff. And you just focus on studying. But then they don't learn, right? Mm-hmm. And Henry would be pushing, like, I don't even know how old they were when he was like, oh, they should do the dishes. They could have been like 4 or 5 years old. And I was like, you want them to do the but
why else are we having kids? I mean, come on.
So we fought because I was like, I think they're too young. Like they're probably going to drop the dishes in the, you know, or they're going to play. But it was this conflict of, you know, pushing them to do things themselves or like taking out the trash, doing chores. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. Right. For pushing that. Cause now they can do things that I don't think I would have pushed them to do. I would have taken care of them. And so that's huge is when you're going into the marriage, like knowing those things and deciding, wait, going forward, what do we want to do? Mm-hmm. So going forward, we do want to teach our kids how to do the chores and things like that, right? So we're both going to agree that this is how we're going to be moving forward. That keeps you from mm-hmm. the fighting. Mm-hmm. But you have to be self-aware. You have to have taken care of your stuff so you can communicate and do that.
You have to know how to communicate healthy. And,
exactly. Yeah. Without getting offended. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if some of those things resonate with you and you are struggling with some of those things, I'm appreciative that you're helping us with some of these action steps of ways to approach it, ways to think about it. And I do think that, you know, it's cool to see how as a church, we do have a lot of things, resources to help people, right? We do have IPM. We do have the prayer ministries. We do have people like Mimo who are leading classes like Emotionally Healthy. I think even Pastor Barry's Hearing God class, like the more we can hear from the Lord, the more he can reveal to us, the more that we can recognize and be self-aware, but then also aware with the Lord what he wants to work on in us too. So I think I'm really appreciative after part of this conversation, just saying like, wow, the Lord has actually equipped us to help walk people through some of these parts of the journey too, in these various ways, like IPM, PMT, deliverance, Emotionally Healthy, Hearing God's Voice. Jerry's doing a parenting class. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of stuff that's going on right now. Resources that are available if you take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm. And it's urgent, you know, it's urgent. And if you look around at the world today and what's happening, like, you got to do it now. You know, you got to do it now.
Well, it's urgent too, because, I mean, no one bursts people's bubbles, but it takes time. It's not like, oh, I got that figured out and I'm all good now. Everything's transformed. It's like, it's a process. So it's urgent, because if you don't start on it, you're falling behind the game. Brett, speaking to you. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I'm falling behind the game, but I was going to say some of the urgency too is you don't know how these changes or working on things can change the trajectory of your life or people around you or the people that come after you.
Yes.
I'm thankful to have received some of that change from my parents and
shout out to Don and Nancy.
Yeah.
We haven't brought them up for a little while. There's not as much character talk lately. So,
but I think in general, I've been able to see that in some of my friends and the things that they're going through and the ways that they're choosing to handle it. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy, but speaking to them that, well, this is going to change the trajectory for your life and for your potential kids or just relationships you have moving down, and you don't know in a good way what effects those will have or how God's going to use that. And so, yes, it's a lot of work. Yes, it's hard and difficult, but I do think there, and I firmly believe there's a worthwhile reward at the end of it.
For sure.
Yeah, and I think if you don't even know where to start or you're totally overwhelmed or whatever, you can reach out to any one of us and, you know, in the leadership, and they can suggest something to you. I mean, we've had people be mentors too, right? Mm-hmm. Or just come alongside and disciple people. So yeah, that's all available. You it's totally right, Damon, what you said. We have such a resource rich church in that sense for healing and getting to, you know your identity and all that. So we're very fortunate.
Shout out to Jody. If you guys need someone to talk to, Jody, who's our director of healing and wholeness at our church, she can help to direct you into some of the different ministries that might be available or might be more appropriate for the situation that you're in too.
I mean, you're just sharing that. It makes me think of the mindset that people get in of, God, just send somebody to come pray for me. Send somebody, and then I will respond. It's like, God's like, no, get out of your chair and go ask somebody and tell them you need help. And it's like what you're saying with mentoring or with this or that. It's like, hey, it's God will do that sometimes. And those are special moments. But he a lot of times is like, hey, I gave you 2 feet, get up. I gave you a mouth, go talk to somebody, go share what's going on and say, I need help. And, you know, there's a lot of people that would do that for you.
I thought you were going to say, if you're waiting for God to send you somebody, Agnes came on the podcast, and if you're listening, there's your sign.
Oh, there you go. I love it. Yeah. Oh, man, that was deep, right? Good job. I like that connection.
No, I was thinking that, too, when you said that. Like, you know, Jesus asked people when he healed them, too, right? Like, do you want to be healed? Or pick up your mat and walk, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, I'm just going to do it. Like, you need to want to do it, too, right? And reach out and connect to the Lord. So, yeah.
In saying that, I'm encouraging you, take the step. It's worth it. You know, the fruit is worth it. The journey isn't easy, but it's not unbearable either. It's just, it is highly worth it. I'll put it that way.
Definitely.
All right. So, Agnes, do you have any closing thoughts before we call it quits for this episode?
I would just say that it's a journey, right? This whole process of, you know, improving your marriage, improving your relationships, you know, becoming more Christ-centered, whatever. It's all a process. So don't give up. Just take one step and, you know, the Lord is going to be with you in it. And then you don't have to do it alone. I mean, we're here as a church family and, you know, we're the body of Christ and we need each other more now than we ever have before in this world, in our time. So, yeah, I would just pray that over everyone.
All right. Thanks, Agnes, for coming on the show and sharing with us. You know, I really feel like this episode was, or these series of episodes, really in line with our series that we're in with Renewing the Mind, because I do feel like for a lot of people, it could be different relationships they're in or different aspects of relationships that their mind needs to be renewed so that we can see the hope that the Lord has for us. And sometimes that's especially in marriage that the Lord needs to reshape our mindset so that we can come together and experience the plans that he has for our families. So thanks for coming on. We appreciate you. And thanks to all the listeners out there. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.